Father, when we say that you're an awesome God, it's not even close to who you are. There's no way we can exaggerate your awesomeness. There's no way we can exaggerate anything about you. Because far beyond our wildest imaginations, you are God. You were, you are God. Even before there was time, you were God. Even before there was space, you were God. There is nothing that is that preceded you. All that is, all that can be seen, all that cannot be seen with the natural eyes or even with spiritual eyes, you preceded. And not only did you precede all things, you see all things, you know all things, past, present, and future. How can we even use the word awesome to describe you? There is nothing to describe you. There's not a word. We don't have a word. We will never have a word to describe you. And so, Father, we ask that you will just accept the biggest word we can use. Just say, you're an awesome God. It's gibberish to you. Just like our little ones speak gibberish and we think they are just amazing. Lord, receive whatever we present to you from the depths of our being today in thanksgiving. Thank you for being God, for being faithful, for being true. Thank you that you, in your loving kindness and your tender mercies, have loved us with an everlasting love. We give you praise for all things. Thank you that you've taken care of every enemy. And Lord, oh God, we say, have your way in our lives. Amen and amen in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. God is good. It's good to have you here tonight on this, I guess this will be the fifth day of our gathering together. And, fifth day, I would say. And today we are going to talk about a particular aspect of one of the vessels in the tabernacle. We have not talked about the tabernacle altogether, but we're talking about that which is in the center of the tabernacles. And we started out just talking about the first set of tribes at the entrance. We talked about the presence of Zebulun, Judah, Issachar, the priests were closest, Moses, Aaron and his sons. And we talked about how coming into that presence where the tabernacle was, they came to the brazen altar. And the brazen altar represented the place of sacrifice. This is the place that represents the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ to us. And we moved from there, we came to the brazen laver. We talked about the brazen laver. That was a basin, basically, and a pedestal. And the basin was made out of mirrors, looking glasses. And water was poured in there. And after this, the priests have sacrificed the animals for the covering, the atonement for the people, they came to this brazen laver. And the first thing they saw was themselves. And when they dipped their hands inside that water, the image got distorted. And we talked about how when we first come, we see ourselves. And as we come to the Lord, many times we have a distorted image of ourselves. Sometimes we think too little of ourselves. Sometimes we think too much of ourselves. But as they washed their hands, all that blood came into that basin. And now it was just the basin. And whatever image of themselves they saw not through the glass, but through that blood, the blood that was shed. And that blood is the blood of Jesus Christ. The first miracle is, as they wash their hands, each one washing their hands in there, you will think their hands will remain dirty, but they come through and their hands are clean. Even through the bloody waters, their hands are clean. Even through the blood, we are made white as snow. God changes our situation. And they came in and they came to the table of, first of all, the candlesticks. We talked about the seven spirits of God. We mentioned every single one of them. The Word of God states to us very specifically about the Spirit of God, the seven spirits. Mama prays that prayer with us every Sunday morning when she comes. And it's found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. Verse 2 through 3, we talked about the Spirit of the Lord and how that Spirit of the Lord rests upon us. And Jesus, our Lord, says that that same Spirit rested upon him, and it was for the preaching of the gospel. When we come to that place, the light of the world, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And then he turns around and says, you are the light of the world. And then he says that the light should not be hidden under a bushel, but put on a stand so that everyone in the house can see. And we talked about the importance of preaching the gospel, making certain that other people know about this love of God and the power of God and the grace of God, the loving kindness of God, the peace of God which passes all understanding. We talked about the spirit of wisdom, which is the fear of God and the beginning. The Bible says, it says, he that winneth souls is wise. And the emphasis about the Spirit of God in the light stand is that it is about the manifestation of God's glory and the declaration of God's glory in us and through us to the world. You cannot really truly approach the presence of God without first of all being a winner of souls. And I know I made a very heavy statement when we're talking about this particular subject. And the statement went something like this. If you do not have the heartbeat of God in winning souls, it is very doubtful it is absolutely doubtful that you're going to make it into heaven. You say, what do you mean? Well, because that is the greatest act of disobedience there is. The last instruction the Lord Jesus Christ gave to us is that we go preach the gospel. Oh, I can't preach the gospel. I'm afraid what people will say. Well, there is no fear in love. If you have fear of man, then you don't have the fear of God. It's imperative and absolute that we be light bearers. He says, any branch in him that does not bear fruit, he cuts off. That doesn't sound like something that's going to go into the kingdom of God. You may not like me for saying it, but it's the absolute truth. You have to mortify, kill the deeds of the flesh and have some backbone inside of you that causes you to tell somebody else about how God loves them. Because if you don't preach the gospel, you don't love. If you truly believe the word of God, that there is a hell and a lake of fire, that there is a devil that seeks to destroy people, then you must do the right thing. You must position yourself to share the word of God with other people. It says the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Seven spirits of God. And then we moved from there, and we talked about 2 days ago about the table of the showbread. And we talked about the bread being the word of God. We talked about this particular table being the table of faces. Lehem Panim or Lehem Hapanim. In this place, just like at the brazen altar, once again, you have a face-to-face connection with God. God reveals his face to you in his word, and your face is being changed in that place. There were six and six, 12 of them. This represents all 12 tribes of Israel. It represents every month of the year. It represents government, leadership, all of that under the auspices of the Word of God. And then they sprinkled, this part I did not share the last time, they sprinkled frankincense on it. Frankincense is an incense, and it represents that which is connected to a life of prayer. And so the whole essence of it is have the word with prayer. Pray the word. Oh, come on. So right there at the table of showbread is God saying, pray the word. Pray the word. Not your mind, not your thoughts, not your ideas, the word. It is the word of God that the angels respond to. It is the word of God that God responds to. His word. Spoken. And it is the word that all nature responds to. Every knee must bow and every tongue must confess to Jesus Christ the Lord, who is the Word of God. Praise the Lord. If we are going to be people that are effective and going to be like Leham Panim also means the place, the bread of display. If God is going to display His glory in us and through us, we have to have the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to last. That's the only thing that truly is going to last. His Word does not return back to Him void. It accomplishes everything it is sent for. The Word is the doer. The Word is the manifester of God's divine purpose and will. Heaven and earth may pass away, but not His Word. You know how important this is? God's Word says He holds His Word above His name. Because if His Word is not true, His name is not good. You are just as good as your Word. And so when we come to this place of the light, the candlelight, which is also representative of the Word, the laver, the water, the Word, the brazen altar, oh, it's also the Word, because it is the Word, Jesus Christ, that hung on the cross. It's all about the Word. We move now and we come to a very special place. This is the last in this particular holy place. It's called the Golden Altar. The Golden Altar. What was this altar for? This altar was for prayers, was for burning of incense. Now, I want you to see something. The first altar, the brazen altar, was the altar of sacrifice. And the aroma rises up to God. The offerings of God's people rises up to God as a memorial unto God. Now, before you step into the most holy place, another altar is introduced. And this altar is going to release fragrances to God. The fragrance, the incense of prayer. So the two altars carry aromas. The aroma, the smells that come before God, tells God something is about to happen. Something is about to happen. My people are coming. They are approaching my presence. And now when we come to this place, everything changes. Because prayer is our communion with God. It's our declaration of communion with God. Connecting with God. Talking with God. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And verse 26 tells us about the first time prayer is mentioned in the Bible. prior to this time, God initiated every communication. But then something happened. The Bible tells us, I'll take it from verse 25, and then I'll go to 26. Cain had killed his brother Abel. And there is a time of silence. Cain is gone away from Adam and Eve. But the word of God says, and Adam knew his wife again. And she bore a son and called his name Seth. Seth means compensation. Compensation. And he's the third son. So we have Cain and Abel, and now we have Seth. They called his name Seth, for God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. I have a compensation. I have a replacement. And then the word of God says, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son. And he called his name Enos. Enos. What does Adam mean? Okay, I'm not going to tell you the answer to that one. You go back and you find out what Adam means. You should know that. But I will tell you the name of this guy. Huh? Man. Okay. His name is called Enos. Enos means man. Man. It says, then began man to call upon the name of the Lord. People began to pray when Enos was born. When Enos was born, man began to pray. And there are hundreds of prayers that we see in the scriptures. Man began to pray. Pray about what? About their future. Praying about the things that need to change in their lives. Crying out to God about varied issues. Every one of us here do pray. Anybody here that doesn't pray? Why do you pray? There's got to be a reason why we pray, right? Well, before you come into the Holy of Holies, the last altar is the altar of prayer. Now, I want to just look at this forensically for a moment. So just talk about what prayer means. And I'm going to spend a lot of time this year talking about prayer so that we have an understanding of what prayer is. But there are at least 9 different kinds of prayers. The prayer of worship. This is the prayer that causes you to recognize the greatness and the goodness of God. And actually, when we look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, it tells us, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us how to pray. And it starts out this way: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let your name be hallowed. The prayer of worship declares the glory of God. And the amazing thing about it is that when we're declaring the glory of God, God pulls us in, and the Lord Jesus Christ says, you pray, our Father, my Father, my Father, our Father, not just God, which art in heaven, but Father. What does that mean? It means that he's the one who fathered us and the one who seeded us. Our Father who art in heaven is God, the one who's made me in his image and in his likeness. That's what it means. The one who seeded me. Let your name be hallowed. Let your name be hallowed. I'm coming to you now. And Father, I know that you are God who answers prayers, and whatever it is that I'm going to ask you now by the authority of your word will happen, so that everyone will know that I have a good backer. I have a good Father. Hallowed be thy name. Let your kingdom come. Let your purpose, your will, be done here in the earth as it is in heaven. I am your face here in the earth. Lord, show up. That's what it is. Father, show up. Let God arise and let every enemy be scattered. You're my Father, the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. Of your own will you begat us. And you say, I'm a good and perfect gift. Because I'm like my Papa. Your kingdom come. 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 Your reign come. Your reign come. Your reign come. Father, in Jesus' name, let everything standing in the way, trying to block your perfect will, be eradicated. Come, 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 Lord, come. That is our cry. At this altar of incense, we are declaring as we worship. We worship because of what Jesus Christ has already done. God gave him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? He obeyed the instruction of the Father. And because he did the will of the Father, God gave him a name. And when I come, I'm saying, let the kingdoms of men now be subject to the kingdom of our God. I worship. Hallelujah. Then there is the prayer of consecration. The prayer of consecration is a prayer for purity. We come into God and we say, God, I surrender my life to you. My thoughts, my everything about me, I'm consecrating myself to you, the Most High God. In Psalm 19, verse 13 through verse 14, Psalm 19:13. It says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. This is a cry of a man recognizing that he needs the help of God. It's not by my might nor my power, but by your spirit. God, I'm asking, keep me from a sinful life, from presumptuous sins, sin of any kind. Then there is a prayer of faith in James chapter 5 and verse 15. Actually, let me go to verse 14 of Psalm 13 first before I go to James. Verse 14. Do we have a verse 14? Here, I want to see it. It says, let the words of what? My mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth, what words? The words of God. Let it be acceptable. And the meditation of my heart. What am I meditating on? The word of God. Some people say, I don't know how to meditate. Okay. Everybody meditates. Everybody on the planet meditates. So what do you mean, Pastor? Well, when you worry, what do you think you're doing? Anybody worrying about anything is meditating on something negative. And God is calling you to meditate on His Word. And when you meditate on His Word, it changes you. He says, let it be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. For you are my strength and my Redeemer. Now, the prayer of faith is found in James chapter 5 and verse 15. It says, and the prayer of faith, the prayer of faith. What is the prayer of faith? The prayer of faith is a prayer that is in agreement with the Word of God. The prayer of faith is a prayer that makes what you are declaring to become. So the prayer of faith is almost a prophetic prayer. That's a kind of prayer also. The prayer of faith, you're using the word of God. You say, by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. And you declare, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that this mountain of sickness and disease be removed now because Jesus Christ has paid the price. This sickness is not the planting of the Lord. Therefore, you are removed now. This sickness cannot stay, because bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. He's a God who has healed you of your diseases and cleansed you from all your transgressions and your iniquities. So get out. You cannot stay in my body. Diabetes, you cannot stay in my body. Cancer, you cannot stay in my body. I'm not giving you any rent here. Move. That's the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith, when you pray the prayer of faith, it says it shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. Praise God. The Lord will raise him up when he hears the prayer of faith. Salvation is brought about. And it says, and if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Huh? The prayer of faith is going to bring about the forgiveness of sins. If there is a sin that is causing that problem to be there, yes, that's what God's word says. That's exactly what God's word says. He says if there was sin there, and the reason for that sickness being sin, when the prayer of faith is being prayed, God will step in there and raise that man up or woman up, and if there's a sin there, it will be removed. Who prays this prayer of faith? It could be the person who is in that particular situation, or it can be elders or others praying for somebody and declaring the word of God, not accepting that sickness or that disease or ailment any right to exist in that life. This child is not going to die from drug addiction. I command you, drug addiction, get out. I speak right now that everything that is causing you to walk in this addiction be broken off of you by the authority of the word of God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we declare your deliverance now. And God comes in and raises him up. And God comes in and forgives this sin. It's a powerful kind of prayer, the prayer of faith. Praise the Lord. Then we have the prayer of supplication or petition found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says to us in that particular prayer, it says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't be worrying, which means you should be meditating on the word of God. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. That word supplication, and I remember many years ago, the Lord explained it to me this way. He said to me, he said, supplication simply is supply application. Supply your application. So make your application and present it to me. That's supplication. That's it. I like that. You know, when God teaches you, it's better. That's all. Just supply. Make your petition. But when you're doing that, do it with thanksgiving. So there is a prayer of thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. The prayer of thanksgiving. When you express thanksgiving, the word of God says in Psalm 100 and verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. The prayer of thanksgiving. This is a powerful kind of prayer. When we come to that altar, these are the kinds of prayers that we are pouring in there. We are expressing thanksgiving unto God. We are petitioning God for something. We are interceding, the prayer of intercession. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But I want to stop here with this prayer of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and gratitude to God is of utmost importance. Do you remember the 10 lepers that were cleansed? Remember them? And one of them came back. Yes? To express thanksgiving. Never thought about this before. I was on the treadmill this morning just walking and doing my thing. And all of a sudden, I hear the Lord. He said, out of the blue, he said, one tenth of what I'd given came back to express thanksgiving. He said, that's 10%. I said, oh, that's right. And I'm walking. And he says, that's the tithe. I said, oh, the Lord is saying something here. He says, the tither, the tithe came back with thanksgiving. Every tithe is an expression of thanksgiving that will demand me causing that person to become every whit whole. I say, look at that. Even from the message and the teaching of the 10 lepers, everything that we offer to God is like filthy rags. But God is in the process of healing and restoring us. And when we come back with expression of thanksgiving, He has now the power to bless the rest. For the tithe is almost like the first fruit. In a sense, it's like a first fruit. If we want the blessings of God, we got to do it with thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Thanksgiving from our lips, but also thanksgiving from our giving of that which belongs to God. Coming back and saying, I thank you. Jesus said to the man, sozo, you made every whit whole. This sickness shall never return back into your life. Hallelujah. That's a prayer of thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Then there's a prayer of agreement. The word of God says in Matthew 18, 19, He says, if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Agreement, the power of agreement, the prayer of agreement. You and I coming together in agreement and saying, God, this is what we're asking for. And God says, okay, this is what you guys want? Yes. Okay, done. You're in agreement. Do you know that it is hard for God to say no when we come into agreement in prayer? Because agreement simply states that we are operating in unity. And how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like that oil, that anointing that was on the head of Aaron that ran down his beard and down his skirts. It is like the dew on Mount Hermon, for there God commanded the blessing. When we come into agreement, God's commanded blessings come into our lives. Praise the Lord. Because when we get into that most holy place, it is not about prayers anymore. It's about, one, the expression of the Word of God, two, the establishment of authority, three, the expression of mercy. It is the place of full atonement. And we're going to talk about that possibly tomorrow. But today, I want you to understand that there is a place of prayer that God has put in place. Amen? Then there is a prayer of intercession. This one I'm going to spend time on another day. The prayer of intercession. The prayer of intercession is that of somebody stepping in on behalf of another. And the prayer of intercession carries a lot of weight. In fact, the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, is Jesus praying the prayer of intercession for his disciples, every one of us, them and us, and those yet to come. God interceding, Jesus interceding, stepping in, and declaring prophetically over our lives certain things. I'm going to visit it a little bit today in John 17. But let me go on and talk about the prayer of the Holy Spirit. The prayer of the Holy Spirit is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, where it tells us that we don't know how to pray. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray, for as we pray for as we ought. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought or should. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So here we see the Holy Spirit also doing intercession for us because we don't know what to pray. That's why he's giving us the spiritual language of tongues. So you pray in tongues. Now, when we pray in tongues, it might not be sensible or reasonable to anybody else, because nobody else understands what you're saying. But God knows what you're saying. It says that there are intercessions with groanings which cannot be uttered. How is that possible? How is it that you can groan and it not be uttered? There are groanings in the Spirit that is so deep that the sound is not a sound that you can interpret. It's so deep, you're sighing. And what does that mean? It cannot be uttered. you cannot. This is deep calling unto deep. Holy Spirit saying your situation and saying how bad the situation is. And saying, there's no way this guy is going to pray the prayer that he needs to pray. So let me pray it for him. Aren't you glad that we have a helper? Jesus said, I'm going to send you another one like me. He's going to be your helper. He's going to bring to you your remembrance, the things that you need to know. We're not left without comfort. We have a paraclete, one who's walking alongside of us. God is interested in every single detail of your life and my life. You know, it's remarkable that the Word of God talks about tears that have been bottled. And those tears are our prayers. There is that level when you are in so much pain, and we do go through these things because we have an adversary who wants to consistently attack us. He wants you to fail. He wants you not to make it. But God is on your side and on my side. Amen? So even when you are in that state, like the Bible will say in Psalm 56 and verse 8, Psalm 56 and verse 8, it says, thou tellest my wanderings. It's going around and around. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? That's the book of memory. God remembers. God remembers me. And at that table of incense, as we pour out our hearts to God, pronouncing his word, proclaiming his word, He hears us, but he also knows our infirmities, and he knows that sometimes we're not going to do it right. We're going to come with all this pain. He says, okay, I'm going to put that in a bottle. That's not going on this altar of incense. We'll put that. I acknowledge it. And when I see your tears in that bottle, I'm reminded that my son, my daughter, is going through some hard times. I'm going to help him. I'm going to help her. Because I am set to wipe away your tears. That's what the Word of God says in the book of Revelation 21 and verse 4. No more tears. No more tears. Does that mean that we will not continue to commune with God? Absolutely not. He's just saying that the pain and the anguish of soul will no longer have reign in your life. I'm taking it on. I'm taking it on. I'm taking it on. He says, for God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more what? Death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Wait a minute. When is this supposed to happen? Yes, then, but it's also now. The Word of God says, if any man be in Christ, that man is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Those old things are the former things. Those are the things of you are going to labor with tears. And God is saying, in Christ Jesus, I took care of that. And when he says, and there shall be no more death, of course he said that. I am the resurrection and the life. So the prayer of faith is to bring us into the awareness of what Jesus has already done and lay claim to the promise of God. And the more we drive ourselves to him, we recognize that he took on our pain, he took on our shame, he took on everything that was contrary, and in exchange, he gave us divinity, made us partakers of his divine nature. And he has blessed us with every blessing, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, the ninth thing kind of prayer is the prophetic prayer. Prophetic prayer. An example of it is found in Job 22:28. What is a prophetic prayer? A prophetic prayer is a declaration that you're making by the Spirit of God, by the leading of the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And all creation is awaiting the manifestation of what? The sons of God. The sons of God prophesy because they are led by the Spirit of God. When we are led by the Spirit of God, we begin to make particular declarations. The Word of God says, thou shalt also decree a thing. The words that you speak out of your mouth in a prophetic prayer are prayers or declarations or decrees. What are these decrees? The decrees of what the Lord God, the Father, has already done. You stating again what God said. And by so doing, a prophetic declaration is put in place. He says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be what? Established unto thee. And the light shall shine upon thy ways. Praise the Lord. That's prophetic praying. Declaring what God's word is. And this kind of prayer is a kind of prayer that that forces things into place. Some of you were here many years ago, right here. I'm preaching the Word of God. I don't remember what I was preaching that day, but I was preaching something, and somewhere right there, I declared, "Van, come to me now." And I continued my message. And the next day, Van showed up. Somebody brought a van to me and handed me the keys. I needed a van. That's prophetic praying. Prophetic praying is, let there be a Burger King. I had another need, but let there be a Burger King. And a Burger King was built where I said, let there be a Burger King. And the equipment I needed to solve my problem here at the church was right there, and it came here and helped me. Prophetic prayer. Prophetic prayers have an impact that forces things to come into order. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Prophetic praying. This kind of praying is a prayer that is spirit-led. It is not the one of groanings, but when the groanings have been accomplished, there is the declaration of words. And those words change things, put things in order, cause things to line up as they should. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, let me do something real quickly. I wasn't intending to go this far, but come with me to the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter. John 17. Incidentally, I have not counted, but there are 25 prayers of Jesus that he prayed. 25. Now, he prayed many prayers, but there are 25 prayers that are noted. And when I saw that, 25 prayers, it dawned on me again that we are talking about 25 this year and all grace. And what I see from that is this, that God is going to grant us grace in every aspect in our relationship this year. Amen? So expect God to fire up your prayer life, not because there are needs, because prayers are not about needs. In fact, effective prayer is having a discussion with God. It's not only when you're kneeling down or standing up. Prayer can be on your bed while you're lying down. Prayer can be while you're sitting. Prayer can be with your eyes closed. Prayers can be with your eyes open. But prayers basically is communion with God, having a discussion with God. And that's what God wants you and I to have, the capacity to have discussions with him. Now in John 17, it says, "This word spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said," what? "Father." Father, that's the honor he gives. He says, "The hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." It's a feed. You glorify God, God does something, and you glorify Him again, and He does something, and you glorify, and it just consistently keeps on going. You say, as thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, or eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is me knowing God and knowing Jesus. He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. In other words, I obeyed the instruction and I completed it. Now, he's not gone to the cross yet, has he? No. But he's saying, I have finished the work. This is a prophetic declaration. Ahead of him doing what he needs to do, he's declaring it now. I have finished it. It is done. He says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. Glorify me with your own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I had you in me and I in you. Glorify me with yourself, with your person. And that's the same prayer he's praying for us, that we glorify the Father with himself, because we cannot glorify God with ourselves. I need God to glorify himself through me. Amen? Hallelujah. It says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. I have manifested thy name. This is what God is calling us to do, to manifest, show forth his name in this world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Watch this statement. Watch the Lord praying. Watch him praying. This is a sample of him praying. He says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. How did he do it? He did it by the signs, wonders, and miracles and the teachings that he shared before them. He says, thine they were. Wait a minute. Was Peter, James, all of them? Did they belong to the Father? He says, they all belong to you, but you gave them to me. And when you gave them to me, I gave them your word, and they have kept thy word. Wait a minute, Lord Jesus, what are you talking about? What are you saying, they kept your word? Isn't Peter going to say, I don't know him, I don't know him? But God doesn't see that way. He sees beyond my faults and your faults, and he sees what he wants to see, and that is that he is not going to lose you or lose me to the devil. So he says, they are word keepers. They've kept the word. Let's go on. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, that I came out from thee. I came out from thee. God is a place. And I came from that place. That place is God. And they have believed that thou didst send me. One of these days, we're going to spend our time talking about that phrase there, that I came out from thee. He says, they believe that you sent me. Jesus was asked, what must we do that we might work the works of God? He said, believe in the one that was sent. You want to see miracles happen in your life? Believe in the one that was sent. Hallelujah. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou givest me. And as it concludes there, they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Those that belong to God were given to the Lord Jesus. And as representatives of the Lord in the earth today, those that Jesus has by the Holy Spirit is given to us to shepherd and bring home to Him. And it behooves us not to lose anyone. He says, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. I'm glorified in them. God wants to be glorified in us. This, watch the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking about all things as done. Even when some of it had not happened yet. He's saying, done. They are glorified. I'm glorified in them. It goes on. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world. This is getting crazier by the moment. And now I am no more in the world. Where was he talking from? Was he talking from heaven? He says, and now I'm no more in the world. But these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep. Watch this. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Keep them through your name, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, he's still here. He said, but while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. How did he keep us? Then it's the name of the Father. Those thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He said, I lost no one except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He says, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Praise the Lord. Rise with me. We're talking about prayers. We're talking about this altar of incense. The altar where we surrender completely everything based on the Word of God. Incense was put in this altar. Strange fire was not allowed in that altar. And today, my prayer is that we will not bring any strange fires into the altar of God, and that every word that we utter out of our mouths and every groaning of the Spirit, that it rises before God with an express response from God. God answering and saying, yes, 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 I confirm my word in you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your authority and for your word. I thank you for your awesome love. I thank you for what you have done already. I pray, Lord, today that we will experience you in a new, tangible way. And Lord, oh God, that you will be the energizer in our prayer life. That, Father, we will come before you boldly. That we will come before you and declare your divine will done in the earth as it is in heaven. That, Lord, oh God, that you will be our Father and our fighter. And Lord, oh God, that everything will be put in its proper order in our lives. This day I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that there be a work of sanctification, separation unto you. That, Lord, oh God, that every thought we think will be the thoughts of the Most High God. And that, Lord, oh God, that we will do that which you've called us to do. And that you will do exceedingly far beyond anything we dare ask or think. Lord, thank you for answered prayers. Thank you, Lord, that you are not deaf to our voices, but that you hear us clearly and that you respond even before we pray. Let the answers be dispatched. We give you praise that it is so. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This time, let us honor God with our giving. While we're getting ready to do that, there's one prayer that I did not mention. It is the prayer of repentance. The prayer of repentance. That's when a man cries out to God and say, God, have mercy on my soul. I need you to step into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Is there anyone here tonight that needs to pray that prayer? They ask God, God, you see the mess that I am, but I know you can turn my mess around and bring forth a message. I want to be light. Is anyone like that? If there is anyone, just raise your right hand and I'll pray for you. Bless you. Bless you. I see those two hands. Well, everyone rise one more time and pray this prayer. I want you to, those of you that are, just raise your hand. I want you to say this loudly and everyone else will join you together. You say, Father, I come to you just as I am. Fix me. I declare that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. He has taken my sins away and he has given me a new life. I receive this new life. Empower me now to shine brightly all over the world, in my local community and everywhere else. Let your glory shine forth. Thank you for my changed life. I declare with my mouth, I am saved. By grace, through faith, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give God a good clap offering for that. Amen. He did it. And congratulations, those of you, both of you that gave your life to the Lord today. You made the best decision you will ever make in your life. I encourage you to continue to come into the house of God, hear the word of God, and so that you can grow. Amen? And you will see the marvelous changes that God has made possible for you. God bless you. Amen. Well, we're going to cut off from the rest of the world, YouTube and the rest of them, and we're just going to connect with those that are on Zoom just to say,